Quickly and Marotta mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Quickly Blast.
Suns fans received a major surprise over the weekend. They received a happy ending to a regular season gone wrong, and if we're really lucky, maybe even a happy basketball team. And for this, we can thank Bradley Beal, who is no longer the third wheel on a super team. In the span of two games, he has given this team a new life and a new personality. He was also the driving force in this team, avoiding a perilous play-in tournament, a team that now is a very favorable postseason draw. Now, there are those who believe this Suns team is beyond redemption, that they've been too inconsistent and too reckless with our emotions, too reckless in their lapses in focus, but I don't feel that way at all. I believe the series of events over the weekend, the two victories, along with a much-needed assist from the Lakers, is exactly the kind of reward this fan base needs to believe all over again, and Beal's show of emotion on Friday night clearly galvanized Planet Orange, because we've seen so little of that over the course of 82 games. Now, to be honest, I'm still kind of miffed at Devin Booker and Kevin Durant for their nonchalance, but they can make good now in the postseason. And for now, I'm just thankful for Bradley Beal for giving a battered fan base exactly what they needed, proof that the Suns actually care as much as the rest of us. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, who make luxury attainable. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
I mean, I just feel good. I'm in a good mindset. I'm blessed, man. My body feels good. I'm playing some really good basketball at the right time. And like I said last game, I'm just locked in. I'm just super excited to be with this group, to have an opportunity to know that we can have a chance to win every single night. And there's no better feeling than knowing I can go to troop with these guys on a nightly basis, man. And I'm excited for it, excited for what we do, how we continue to build on what we do. And it's time now. It starts now.
Yeah, it was Bradley Beal postgame on the television broadcast on Arizona's Family Sports yesterday. And during the course of that interview, which lasted like 2 minutes tops, it was four or five teammates came by and interrupted Bradley Beal to make a point of like, what that meant, what his game meant. Damian Lee pouring cold water over his head to cool him off. I mean, this we've been talking about Bradley Beal for a while. And under the context of when things are going bad, Bradley Beal was the guy who at least verbally stepped up.
Yes.
Took culpability.
Accountability.
Accountability.
Yeah, right.
And said the things that a very tense fan base wanted to hear. It's been almost him exclusively.
Yes.
Devin Booker has not done that. Devin Booker ruffled from feathers last week when he said, I'm chilling. We got another one.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant has been very even keeled with his responses, throughout this season.
But there's a lot of visuals of him being disengaged on the end of the bench, not part of timeouts. Fans have noticed that stuff.
But, man, Bradley Beal has taken that to a new level. On Friday night, again, it stood out. If you watch that game, the outward emotion that he showed when the game was on the line, not only showing emotion, but making plays that led to that emotion.
Yeah.
It stood out like a sore thumb.
It really did.
And man, I hope that is something that they can
rally
take
around.
That fuse and light it and ride it into the playoffs.
I totally agree. It was such a simple gesture, but it was so meaningful. You saw the way Suns fans blew up on Twitter or X. It was something that was so, the fan base craved something like that. Show us you care. And that's exactly what Bradley Beal did. There was, I find this kind of ludicrous. I think it's kind of understandable, but I also find it ludicrous, this explanation that, well, you know, Bradley Beal hasn't had any playoff success. Bradley Beal really hasn't even seen the playoffs. Guys like Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, they've been there. KD's won championships. I'm like, okay, first of all, Devin Booker hasn't won a title. So I really hope this isn't true. That I really hope it isn't, we're not, this doesn't excite us. Why would this excite us? And I think that's just a way of trying to kind of figure out why Bradley Beal's exuberance is hitting the fan base the way it has. Either way, I couldn't be happier, because what he did to Anthony Edwards yesterday, he put him in the icebox, Vinny.
He did.
And that's their best player. So what is that team doing when they roll up, when they show up to practice tomorrow to get ready for the series that begins Saturday? Game one is Saturday. That's all we know.
Yeah.
Where are they going to go? Their identity. We're the best defensive team in the NBA. Oh, really? You sure didn't look like that in any of the three games against the Suns.
The Suns have 240-plus point quarters against the Minnesota Timberwolves this year. The Suns scored the most points against the Timberwolves in any single game this year. They also held the Timberwolves to their lowest point total of the year.
They have great interior defense, but if you have you're playing against a team who's awesome at mid-range jumpers, it doesn't matter if you can protect the rim. I think the Suns just match up really well against Minnesota, right?
They clearly do.
They do.
And I don't know. Anthony Edwards, the next Michael Jordan, it's all happening now. Really? Did you see what Bradley Beal did to him on both ends of the court? Well, and Bradley Beal, let's not forget. A week ago, he was guarding Zion.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the biggest strike against him when they traded for him, other than his health and his contract, was that he wasn't a great defender.
No.
What are they going to do? He's not a great defender. No. How are they going to overcome that?
Frank Vogel said something that I can really relate to, and that is, he said, there's a lot of people who think Bradley Beal's a good player. Last couple games, he's shown he's one of the NBA's best. That's exactly the way I look at this, because for most of this season, watching Bradley Beal, I have been of the mindset there's 45 guys in the NBA that are just like him. Not the last two games, there aren't.
Yeah, it was interesting to note that during the season, when the preliminary list for U.S. Olympic spots came out, Bradley Beal was nowhere to be found on that list, and that was about 40 deep.
See? There you go.
We didn't talk about that in real time.
Yeah,
but
that's a good point, Vinny.
Talk about picking your spots. Oh. One other thing I want to mention, too, in terms of realization and transparency and stuff. Mm-hmm. It took till game 81. This was going to Friday night back in Sacramento. The Suns did not play a complete game. They toughed it out at the end and made the plays they needed to win, but they struggled at times during that game against Sacramento. Frank Vogel finally said this.
We're not a good passing team. I mean, it's the simplest way to put it. Like, we have to improve our reads, our passing, our deception, our use of our eyes, our pass fakes, and just putting the ball on time, on target. I mean, we gotta get that corrected. You know, we want to do, accomplish the goals we want to accomplish.
If there is one thing that has made me pull out my hair all season long, mm-hmm. it's the passing or lack thereof that this Suns team has, that they just don't learn from their mistakes.
No.
It was sloppy on Friday. It was much better yesterday. They cut down their turnovers yesterday. Most of them were, non-pass type turnovers. But thank goodness he finally said it.
Well, yes, I totally agree with you. And it's all tied in. The nonchalant attitude that this team has previously had, the one that drove this fan base insane, it's best seen through the prism of how they move the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
There are nights when they just make passes and you're like, okay, you're an 18-year veteran, Kevin Durant. Why are you attempting a cross-court pass? And you're right. It seems like they've never learned those lessons.
And then yesterday in the first quarter, the way the ball was moving was brilliant.
Look at the turnover discrepancy yesterday.
NBA record, 19 turnovers in the first half for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
19! It's unbelievable. This is quite the ending to a regular season that's been about the weirdest we have ever watched.
Yeah, you can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. We know the Suns' place in the playoff picture. We know everybody's place basically in the playoff picture outside of those play-in games. We'll get into the playoff landscape next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Come on. I'm burning.
Arizona Sports.
Ballin'.
Floor Burns with Bickley and Murata.
Why'd you dunk it? Why'd you strike?
Yeah, the NBA regular season wraps up yesterday, and it was kind of a cool day. All 30 teams playing in just two different time slots. Mm. You had all the Eastern Conference games starting at 10 o'clock yesterday morning, and then it bled right into the Western Conference games at 12:30. And there was some games that didn't have a lot of meaning, and there was others that had a lot of meaning. But, I think the NBA has found out something else that works for them in scheduling the last day. And Friday night was huge, too.
Yeah.
Everybody played on Friday night as well. So the last 2 days of the regular season, man, you had a lot of activity. And it was two very eventful days for the Suns. But we can start there. And, it's very Suns heavy, but with all of the uncertainty and doubt that has been placed on this team and whether or not this team even cared within the last week, they have been handed a scenario that they have to feel great about.
Oh, how could you not?
They have to. And on the flip side of it, look, and I've been talking about this from the Suns' standpoint, too. It's a clean slate. The playoffs, everybody's equal going in, especially in these best-of-seven series that are already set. So the clean slate obviously applies to the Suns, a chance to wash away a lot of the disappointment of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a clean slate as equally for the Minnesota Timberwolves. But deep down, there is not one aspect of this matchup that they can look at and feel great about going into it. There's not. Keep looking. Try to find one. Doesn't mean they won't win this series. They got a lot of work to do and a lot of things to figure out about the Suns if they are going to
do
that.
Yeah, listen, and I just, every game that I've seen, and we've all watched every game they've played against the Timberwolves, if you didn't know the Timberwolves' record, you would think they were by far an inferior team to the Suns. It's just, it's a terrible matchup for them. And again, you graduate this, you bounce to Denver for the second round. Now, what's interesting here is that the Knicks are a great story in the Eastern Conference. They fought tooth and nail. They get the 2 seed, and for that, they might get the 76ers. That's rough. That's a rough draw. Then you take a look on this other side. Mike Greenberg of ESPN actually suggested the Lakers should lose the play-in game to the Pelicans to avoid the Nuggets in the first round. I think that's asinine. I don't think you can play games like that.
Well, there was a lot of people talking about that. Your example you brought up in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants the 2 seed. Nobody wants the 2 seed. Well, the Knicks got the 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And look, they're a pretty brash team.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like this version of the
New
York
so
Knicks.
Do I. They're very likable.
But when you consider the history, I mean, Greenberg's suggestion that lose the play-in game to avoid the Nuggets, you're talking about LeBron James, Anthony Davis, just take this game off and we'll and roll the dice.
Against Golden State.
Ugh.
Yeah, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. So this play-in in the West, again, you take a look at these games and it really clarifies the reprieve the Suns earn for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some good teams in there. And two of these teams aren't surviving.
No, and the Lakers have played good basketball down mm-hmm. the stretch. Golden State, we know that they have the capability of turning it on when they want to. The 4-5 matchup between the Clippers and the Mavericks.
That's unbelievable.
That's a tremendous first-round matchup.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And as much as, like, we talked so much about the Clippers, and there was a time this season that I was convinced that the Clippers are a real player for this.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they can turn it on. I think the Mavericks are probably feeling good about that matchup right now, too. They're playing great basketball.
That's another beauty thing, though, is like the three teams the Suns don't match up against, the Clippers, the Mavericks, and Oklahoma City.
They're all on the other side of the
bracket. They're only going to have to play one of those teams at the worst.
Yep. And now, again, I think we need to temper the idea that the Suns are a good matchup against the Nuggets, but we saw that with our eyes as well. The thing that we're not counting on is Denver putting it into sixth gear here.
Well, yes, it's still the regular season, and no, they did not have Jamal Murray in that last matchup. But after, you know, if you go back 2 games, when the Suns first beat the Nuggets in Denver, mm-hmm. everybody said, wow, it was just a weird performance by the Nuggets. They didn't really show much fire, passion. They never really figured things out. They kind of went through the motions. Don't expect that again. And then the Suns lured them into doing the exact same thing. It was
the Nuggets are not overly athletic, and they don't play with pace. And those are the two attributes that can bother the Suns team. Mm-hmm. It's what Oklahoma City does so well. So this is, like I said, for as ragged as this regular season has felt and looked at times, this is as good as you could have hoped for. So, yeah, I'm rejuvenated by it. I know a lot of people are.
In the East, Boston, I mean, has there ever been a gap that big between 1 and 2 in any conference? 14 games. They were 14 games better than the Knicks, who are the 2 seed. 64 wins, and only the 25th team ever to win 64 games.
That's insane.
Yeah,
that's that. You generally don't get that big of a gap. Now, that's almost sort of reminiscent of when the Suns set the franchise record for victories.
Yeah,
and I think they were 9 games better than the rest of the
and
West.
And they went on to win the champ.
No, they right.
Those Eastern matchups though that are set. Cleveland, Orlando, 4-5. I think Orlando could win that series. 3-6, Milwaukee, Indiana.
Indiana can win that series.
I think they
Pacers
can win that
Pacers are playing
series.
Better right now, yeah.
They are. The
yeah.
Bucks are just... And everybody's pointing at Damian Lillard like, wow. Welcome to your championship run here with Milwaukee.
Right.
This is what you're putting forth.
Where's the championship player? Yeah. No, I know.
I'm sure they're banking on the same thing that the Suns were banking on for a while before they finished strong. It's just like, all right, just wait for the playoffs. Giannis will turn it on. He'll carry the team. Damian Lillard hits big shots in the playoffs. You know that's what they're banking on.
Yeah, I mean, they're banking on it, but do we have a return date for Giannis yet?
No.
Does Damian Lillard look like a guy that can dial up Damian Lillard from 5 years ago?
Well, not four years ago
when he was hitting big
shots?
Not
so far, no.
No.
No, I'm with you.
I think it's a massive, I'll say it again, I think it's a massive failure if Boston doesn't come out of the East.
Yeah,
and
there's a ton of pressure on them to do it. There's a ton of pressure on them to win it all.
Yeah, there is, because they've been to the finals recently. They revamped things. They moved around the deck chairs a little bit. There's a lot of pressure on them to win. You're not wrong about that. Coming up next, it's the end of the road for the Arizona Coyotes coming up on Wednesday night, and there's a lot of people very rightfully frustrated by it. We'll get into some of that frustration next. Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
This was something that had popped up a few months ago, and it's embarrassing, obviously, for them, but they worked themselves into a situation where they were not paying their hotel bills in a timely manner, which if you read Katie Strang's reporting, they seem to not be paying a lot of bills in timely manner. And essentially what happened was, at least as I was told and then later confirmed it, the hotels around the league, there's only certain ones that basically every team in the league stays at. They more or less banded together and said, hey, we're all going to be in unison here. If you want to check in, we're happy to have you, but you need to present a cashier's check up front upon check-in.
Oh, my God.
Frank Saravalli, who's been all over this Coyotes relocation story on the S&P podcast, talking about how the Coyotes and stop paying hotel bills. Look,
not good when a soundbite ends with the other person going, oh my God.
Yeah. Especially when it's not a food-related soundbite and a reaction from Jared Carlin. Me. This is going to be, I think, the first in a series of these types of revelations that come out.
I think you're right.
On the current ownership of the Arizona Coyotes. We know this. Look, people are still presenting this as, is the Coyotes' time in Arizona coming to an end? Yeah, it is. It's coming to an end. And that end is going to be Wednesday. The announcement's going to come Thursday or Friday that this team is jetting off to Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
From a hockey standpoint, it is what it is. Andre Tourney has been very open and I think emotional about this and taking the reins of a guy that's kind of championing for people that don't have a voice in the organization. This whole thing sucks. It sucks from the hockey standpoint. It sucks for all the people that are going to lose their jobs. It sucks from a fan standpoint. But when you hear Frank Saravalli tell a story like that and this agreement that's in place apparently from the NHL, hey, Alex Morello, if you can still secure this this land and build an arena within 5 years, we'll grant you an expansion franchise. I'll say it flat out. An expansion franchise should go nowhere near the Alex Morello ownership group if there's going to be a hockey return to Arizona.
Yeah, so the question then becomes is this legit? Does this really exist? And when the NHL and the Coyotes do announce something officially, I'm going to want to hear from the NHL about this, because you're exactly right. What kind of leverage would this ownership group have to extract that? Well, maybe it was a concession that we need you to sell right now. And doesn't that tell you a lot about what the NHL thinks about this land auction?
Yes.
And again, it's like you said, we're talking about that story that Katie Strang did for The Athletic. That was, what, 3 years ago about the financial misdoings. It's not what you would expect from a billionaire, put it that way. And the idea of this late in the game, not paying hotel bills, why would you as the NHL want to re-up with an owner that is doing and operating like that? You wouldn't. So I'm very skeptical about all of it. And I mean all of it.
This goes back to the paying of the bills in a timely manner in Glendale that completely torched that relationship and leading to the situation that this franchise is in right now. They are moving to another temporary situation. Now, Salt Lake City has the ownership, the money behind it, the civic backing and the political backing to make that very temporary moving forward. But I don't get the feeling, and maybe it's just naivete or ignorance on my part. Salt Lake City hasn't been clamoring for a hockey team for that long.
They weren't even.
I saw Ryan Smith's comments pop up like 6 months ago.
Yeah. Look, we've lived this for 20 years. For 20 years, we've heard Houston. We've heard Portland.
It started with Portland. It's gone to Houston.
We've heard another team in Toronto, maybe.
It's gone to, Quebec City,
right.
Hamilton, Ontario.
But we've lived this. And like you said, I haven't heard Salt Lake City until a few months ago. But when something, especially in the NHL, when things happen, they happen. Which is why it was funny we were held on a string for so long without it happening.
Here's some of the questions I was thinking about over the weekend. Everybody knew when the Coyotes got booted from Glendale and were looking for some sort of temporary local fix to this, that Mullet Arena, it was the best of a bad situation. The Coyotes with a straight face came out and said, oh, this is better for us financially. If it was, then why the about face from the NHL that quickly? You need to sell this. We don't want you at Mullet Arena.
No.
Is it because of Marty Walsh and the NHLPA being so chirpy about how bad the situation was? Didn't hear from a lot of individual players over the last two seasons, I could tell you that much.
No, you're right about that. And it's again, for a little while, it was all this, oh, what a beautiful, intimate, how cool for hockey players to return to their roots and play in such a quaint building. Clearly, the NHLPA, this is a line item for them. This is a very high priority for them. Because for the NHL to be directing this and like, okay, no, you're selling to us and we're selling to him, they want this out of this ownership group's hands, because they rightfully don't believe. How can you trust this team to win a land auction, then do all the other stuff, then deal with everything else that's going to come up along the way? We've already seen from the Scottsdale mayor the political clout, the maneuverings when he first came out and said they're unwelcome and it's unfeasible. Then he backed up and said, no, well, actually, if you spend $800 million developing this particular interchange and create an alternative route in the stadium, you're good. That's only the beginning of the kind of stuff they're going to face.
Yeah.
So I think that I'll believe this when I see this. I'll believe the Coyotes winning this land auction when I see it.
There's also a faction of fans, and I don't know how big this is, but I've seen it a lot of places. A faction of fans right now that are looking at what is impending, and that is the Coyotes closing out their stay here on Wednesday night, moving off to Salt Lake City, and they say, well, why doesn't Matt Ishbia just say, come play at Footprint Center? I think that's been well-covered territory.
Yeah, because when Robert Sarver refurbished that and renovated that arena, he made it very, very clear this is not going to be a dual tenancy kind of deal.
No.
And so you can't go back in and rip up that arena now.
And from what I've heard, like, Matt Ishbia was consulted on all of this.
There was no interest.
And then people also ask, how about an emergency renegotiation with Glendale? Because that is an actual hockey arena just sitting there. And I guess that just never was a possibility.
Well, if you're the Coyotes, what is your motivation in doing that?
Staying in Arizona?
Well, and losing $38 million a year while doing it? Again, we're not talking about Matt Ishbia here.
It's only hypothetical losses if you don't pay your bills.
Well, that's true. You don't. It's nothing. You just keep, if you don't answer when the credit people call up. But remember how excited we were when this ownership group came in?
Our first billionaire owner. Yeah.
A billionaire with a B. Things are going to be different.
Listen, Vinny's absolutely right about stuff coming out. There have been people who have worked for the Coyotes, associated, they've kind of hinted that the storm is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So listen, I'm resentful and angry that we are at this point as somebody who has covered this team from, you know, year two of their existence. It's just so unnecessary. This thing has been butchered and botched so many times. They won a referendum for Los Arcos, a run-down mall, in November of 1999. On the same night, the city of San Antonio won an election for their brand new arena. Whose fortunes turned out better, the Spurs or the Coyotes? Same night.
Well, let's not make too hasty a judgment. Let's wait and see how things play out. But so far, the Spurs.
Here's a good observation. Let me find this for you. This is from our guy, Dave Leonard. This is fantastic. The ownership group that brought the Coyotes to Phoenix bought the team in October 1995, the same month of the O.J. Simpson verdict. So basically, this franchise in Arizona had the exact same lifespan as O.J. as a free man.
Wow.
And then he points out, sad part is most Arizona sports fans could name more people in the OJ courtroom than they could that ever wore a Coyotes jersey.
That's fair. That's the other thing. It's like there's finally, at least from what, you know, a lot of social media Coyotes fans are saying, they finally have this young core of excited, talent on their team that they haven't had in a long time. Talented young players.
Clayton Keller, Dylan Gunther.
That's what stings is when you watch Clayton Keller and Dylan Gunther.
Mm-hmm. Krause and Josh Doan.
Yeah, Josh Doan and all those guys make the playoffs next year.
Oh, that's when it's going to hurt.
In different uniforms.
Yeah, that's when it's going to hurt.
Yeah. And other people say, well, this is karma because Phoenix took Winnipeg's team. However you want to look at it, this sucks all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. It really, really does. It really, really does. It's again, our inglorious run as a pro sports town is coming to an end. And you're right. You're right about so many news reports. The way they're framing this is like, could this possibly? It is happening. They're miles down the road with Ryan Smith. Miles.
Just because Alex Morello won't tell the public anything. Doesn't mean it ain't happening.
Maybe these news reports are only looking at Coyotes' social media, and they don't know anything's wrong at all.
Well, yeah, maybe that's true. They are committed to keeping a hockey team here in their forever home.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, we will talk Suns basketball. Kevin Zimmerman from ArizonaSports.com joins us next. It's Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
It took everything breaking just right for the Suns to stay out of the play-in tournament and get the matchup that might be the best for them. Everything broke just right thanks to Bradley Beal and the LA Lakers. The Suns stay out of the play-in and get T-Wolves in the first round. We're talking about it on today's Burns and Gambo show at straight up 2 o'clock.
All of a sudden, the Suns look like they have not just teeth, but a bite. They're not just giving up fourth quarter leads anymore. They were able to sustain one to get in this position in the top six in Minnesota. The Suns look like we expected them to look.
It's Mike Wilbon from ESPN talking about the Phoenix Suns and how they look in this moment now as the sixth seed heading into the playoffs next weekend, starting a series with a team they've dominated in the regular season, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Here to talk about it with us from ArizonaSports.com, Kevin Zimmerman joining us in studio. KZ, good morning.
Hello. Not how we thought we'd be talking about the Suns this morning, huh?
No, we were just joking off the air too. It was like, just when you're ready to call it a year, they do something and make you believe again. And here we are, because what we saw, I think, in the late stages Friday night and then for 48 minutes yesterday, that'll make a lot of people believe again. And Michael Wilbon has killed the Suns all year. Mm-hmm. And he's believing again.
I'm still skeptical because every time we reach this point, there's always the next game. It's just a clunker or there's another bad quarter. But like, if you look at the totality of this team, I mean, they were a couple of wins away from this not being a conversation about being in the play-in at all, and a couple more wins from saying, like, you get home court and that kind of thing. So I think, you know, it's super competitive conference this year. If it wasn't, if they were in the East, for example, this wouldn't even be a worry. It'd be talking about, okay, they look a little bad, shaky. Will they get to the, you know, finals or conference finals? in the West, that's not a given. Nothing's a given. It's a super interesting lineup. If you just look, everything seemed to fall in their place just on matchups for them to actually have a deep run. When you look beyond even one series against the Wolves, but we can start there with the Wolves in that matchup.
Yeah, let's start there. Tell us about it, because it does look very favorable, and it does because we've all seen those three games, and they've been dominant performances for the most part.
Yeah, and I think the interesting part from the Wolves' perspective is you're trying to reintegrate Kat when, you know, he went out, and really they didn't miss much of a beat, and obviously I think teams could have eventually caught up, scouted them, and started to give them more problems when he missed a month-ish, a little over a month, but they're still going to have to work him in. The Suns, I think the one constant in all three of those games was the Suns did really well in Anthony Edwards, and I don't think Suns fans have probably seen, just if they watched those three games, how good he has been this season. I mean, we're talking all NBA, all defense type accolades this year, and I don't think he's hit 20 points against the Suns, so that's the most interesting part for me, and this past game, he didn't even get up the shots, so that's going to be interesting to see if they can stop him. I would say Kat can cook from beyond the three-point line, and you live with it, and you try to stop Ant Edwards.
Kevin Zimmerman joining us in studio talking Suns basketball today. But look, you know, this turnaround late season by the Suns, everybody talked about this 10 games to end the year. Dave Pasch had a stat on an ESPN broadcast that not only was it the toughest this year, it's the toughest 10-game end schedule the NBA has seen in 30 years. And it wasn't smooth sailing the whole way. The three losses were all ugly in their own right. But they go 7-3 in that stretch. And Bradley Beal's got his fingerprints all over this thing, which you can't say that really about the rest of the season with Beal. I think he's picked his spots, but it hasn't been consistent. What do you see from Bradley Beal elevating himself to be a leader on this team?
I think it was just the picking of spots. I mean, you can make the argument now, maybe he's the number two, and they've looked really good when he's that. I don't want to go that far and say KD's the number three on this team as far as offensive options and where you're looking. But if he has to be number two, that's fine. But it's when he was picking his spots of, I'm going to hustle, I'm going to get these defensive stops. And there is that room in the second quarter when Beal and Durant or Book and Durant are out, that he can really just kind of take over the offense. So for me, I think maybe 2 months ago we were talking about, we know what we can expect out of Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Grayson Allen, obviously, Nurk. But you were always wondering how Beal found it, and if he's finding it at the right time, and it looks like he has found how to implement his role and how to do the little things that he probably never got any credit for on the Washington Wizards.
Yeah.
That's, again, a really good sign. But again, we have to see a little more of this. At least they get a seven-round series or seven-game, if it goes that long series, to get it off instead of the play. In where you obviously are pushing against odds.
His performance Friday night came with the fist pumps and the shows of emotion that obviously lit up the fan base, because they've been yearning to see that this team actually cares.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on a team that might find some level of connectivity before it's too late?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been his role, it seemed. And it was even in post-game pressers where you see him take more accountability than everyone else and show a little urgency. You know, I think there is something to be said for this team never showing outright panic, if that's what you want to call it. But he shows urgency. He shows passion. They obviously need a little bit of that. That is the big question on this team, right? It's like, do they not care? Are they over it? Is there something boiling behind the scenes? Or are they just like too even keel to have urgency? And he's the guy who I think has that urgency, who shows that in how he plays. And that's super important. We're talking about Bradley Beal, the role player kind of stuff again, but that's super important, I think.
When you look at the Suns heading in, they're healthy. They have to feel good about themselves with the way things have shaken out. But when you look at a list of concerns that you have for the Suns going into the postseason, what stands out at the top of that list?
I think you saw my tweet. I sarcastically said they need to cut the turnovers out with a game left. they should do that.
Yeah, I responded to it because I laughed out loud.
I tweeted, the Suns need to fix their turnover problems by the end of the season, and everyone pointed out to me that's one game left. They still need to do that. That's number one. And then you see what happens when they turn teams over like the Timberwolves yesterday. I am very baffled on why that's still a thing. I still don't think it's necessarily a point guard issue. I think it's just forcing passes, not making the easy pass, drive, kick it out if someone's in front of you. That person, trust them to make the next pass. Little stuff like that. And I don't really know what more to say than that. I think they're a good three-point shooting team when they get the spacing right. They've shown to be good enough defensively, even if you look at the season-long numbers, like, and take away the bad fourth quarters where they just, like, tank it.
But the fourth quarter issue has largely been solved in the last 30 or 35 games. And a lot of people, I mean, it was so bad before that the numbers still look bad, but...
Or at least, like, they've learned to cut it off, right? Yes. Like, every team in this league, especially this year, when you go look at how many blown leads there have been, like, learn to cut it off if a team goes on even an 8-10-0 run, 12-2 run. Don't let it go 20-0.
Yeah.
And that's always seemingly been fixable to me. And I think they've kind of got over, it must have been a mental hurdle or something there.
Yeah. All right, finally, your thoughts on Grayson Allen's big payday.
Hey, I don't know how much you guys talked about it. I was busy writing, but it's necessary. I mean, when you look at how this roster is constructed, it was, you're paying a lot. You need to double down on paying even more. It's what, like near $80 million in taxes for 1 year on top of the salary. But that gives you, one, probably the most consistent guy this year coming back. And two, worst case down the road, he's a trade chip because they have obviously some very big salaries. You can only sign vets minimums. You can't aggregate salaries under the rules. So basically he gives you a really good trade chip or a really good player. And Matt Ishbia is showing he's willing to pay to have that option.
Which, at the bottom line, it's not coming out of our pockets.
It is not.
It's coming out of his.
Not my problem.
Right.
But that that willingness to pay the salaries to, A, compete for a championship, B, keep a core together, it's...
Says a lot.
It does.
Kevin, thanks so much for stopping
Kevin.
By,
Appreciate it, guys.
You can read Kevin's stuff on ArizonaSports.com. He's part of the Empire of the Suns podcast with Kellen Olsen as well. He joined us here in studio. We hit the 9 o'clock hour next. Sarah Cazell will take us through some social studies here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.